Amen. Well, good morning. You guys doing good? You guys doing good? You glad to be saved? You ever think about that? Just thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you that you saved me and you snatched me from the flames, that I belong to you. That's reason, no matter what trial you're going through, that is reason to be filled with joy this morning. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Colby Lehman, lead pastor here at Antioch. I just got back in last night at midnight from the West Coast. I was at Bethel Church in Reading, where Bill Johnson is pastor. There's a pastor's conference with about 600 or 700 different pastors. And it was a lot of fun. It's a church that has learned to love the presence of God. Absolutely just love to fix their gaze upon Jesus. It's that heart of Mary. When we get so caught up in busyness of life and doing this, and our, you know, we feel the responsibilities, and they're very real. We're parents. We've got jobs. We've got whatever it is. If you've got your list, but in the midst of that, the Lord is wanting to train us to be a people that in our hearts, whether we're running hard or whether we're resting, our heart is at a place of peace. It's at a place of abiding in Him and He in us. That John 15 promise that Jesus said, if you abide in me relationally, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And there's a calling on us as a church, Antioch Community Church. Antioch comes out of the book of Acts. It's where Paul was sent out and was missional. And what they had and what we have, Jesus, who is heaven's answer to every problem, the world is longing to know him. They may not know it, but when they see him and they taste and see that he's good, they always fall and bow and worship. And so we're called to be this missional church that represents Jesus wherever we go, to bring freedom to those who need it, to bring salvation to those who don't know the Lord. And a lot of times, churches that have that calling, there's a tendency to begin to run so hard that you lose the place of intimacy with Jesus. A lot of times you'll see where there's streams or movements or churches where they're good at one or the other. They're really good at just worshiping Jesus and sitting in his feet, but they never do anything with it. They don't take it out to the world. And then there's churches that are really good at saying, go. You know, it's the Great Commission. Go into all the earth. And if you don't do that with the heart of Mary, you lose the power and you get really disappointed and you operate out of your own strength. And God has called us to be both. I mean, he said it very clearly, the great commandments to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's number one. We got to continually allow the Spirit of God within us to continually remind us, train us, encourage us. Okay, just sit at the feet of Jesus. Every time you get triggered with anger, lust, whatever, fear, just sit at the feet of Jesus. Lord, what are you saying? Just learning to abide in him. And then as you go and the Lord prompts you to pray for this coworker, you begin to pray for that coworker. It's just out of relationship that we're going to be able to fulfill both the great commandment to love God and the great commission to be the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus to our city, to our neighborhoods, to our schools, to this nation, and to the nations of the earth. That's who we're called to be. And I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about the next 35 years of my life. I feel like the Lord, when he brought my wife and I 5.5 years ago from reaching Muslims in North Africa and said, I'm going to do a new thing I want you to go to Raleigh. I'm going to rally Raleigh around the glory of Jesus. I'm raising up a generation of worshipers. And he gave us this mindset, give the rest of your lives to serve what God is doing. And I am so excited that over the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30 years, it just, you know, if you fill your mind with all the negative news, you're always discouraged. But heaven has a different perspective. So just be careful when you're checking CNN and Fox and, you know, I mean, stay up to date, but pray, you know, hear what the Lord is saying and declare that. We've got to fill our hearts with what God is doing, and he's doing so many things all over the earth. I was just with some pastors from Texas, and on Friday night, they had a group of people that have built relationship with the football team of it's East Mesquite, Texas High School. Now, Texas football in Texas, you guys, is like big. It's like they worship, you know, it's like, you know, $50 million for a stadium is not a big deal. It's crazy. And so they had been building a relationship, and then the football team, which is over 100, it's like a lot of football players, they were there for some spring training, and they were able to share the gospel with the entire football team. And on Friday night, over 100 football players from this high school bowed down, gave their lives to Jesus, and said, "We want to serve Jesus." They knew that what they had wasn't enough, what they'd been longing for. Well, okay, I made the team, or I'm finally cool, people like me. It never satisfies. It never is enough. You get that dream job, praise God, but it will not satisfy you in the depth of your being. Only Jesus will, as we continually drink from the river of living water, from his presence, from his word. It's amazing what God is doing. It's amazing what he wants to do through you, where you live. And a lot of times we hear testimonies and we think them. No, it's you. No more excuses. We're all weak and messed up. God wants to use you. Everyone say that. God wants to use me. God has anointed me to set captives free. Do you believe that? Even in your journey of maturing, he doesn't say, well, when you finally make no mistake, then I'll use you. That's such a lie from hell. Like, who's he going to use? That's what grace is for. In our journey of stumbling in our own mess, we take our eyes off of the introspective. We lift it on Jesus, where we position our hearts like Mary, and then we're empowered to hear what the Father is speaking over us. I love you. I delight in you. I paid a price. It is finished. You're clean. And I'm empowering you to walk out a life just like Jesus lived. And in that journey, you have authority everywhere you go. You're an ambassador. Ambassadors, it's not just a cute name. It is transferred authority and power from the King of Kings himself, that everywhere you go, you get to represent Jesus, and you have his authority and his power to bring his kingdom, to let people taste and see that he is good. So yesterday morning, Steve Jellicorse and I were flying back. Our flight from Redding, California was canceled, so we had to scramble, and we drove to San Francisco, which I hadn't been there since I was 10 years old. 40, how old am I? 43? So 23 years ago? Did the math right? 33 years ago? I didn't get much sleep, guys. So we're driving, and it's cool. You can see the Golden Gate Bridge over there and Alcatraz, and, you know, and there's traffic in the city. But we're trying to make it, and we're not sure if we're going to make the flight. And we knew we had, now both of us have something in common. We like to eat. So, And we're also both, on the Myers-Briggs, we're both P, so we kind of lose track of time. So we stopped off at lunch, but this was between Redding and San Francisco, at a Thai place. And we had 45 minutes. We were fine. But somehow we lost track of time because we were talking to the waitress, and she was telling us her life story. Unmarried, 3 kids, had just moved from Idaho to help her mom, and had a little bit of Catholic background, and was just so hungry for the Lord. Camila was her name. Sweet, sweet girl. And we're just sharing with her the heart of God for her. Like, she had never heard these things. What God thinks about you, who He's called you to be. And so we're totally caught up. I mean, we're not even thinking about the flight, which Steve missed. I don't know where he is right now. I really don't. I texted him this morning at 9, and we barely made it, so he threw me off at the curb, and I ran in right before they closed the door, and he took the rental car back, and I never heard from him again. So he was supposed to catch a red eye, but I'm afraid that he maybe in between fell asleep in Dallas somewhere. So I don't know. He might be asleep in some airport. If anybody knows where Steve is, so please tell me. But he said to me, it's so worth it to see, because she ended up giving her life to Jesus. And a friend of Steve's, a guy named Graham Cook, used to live in this little city where we were, Lavaca or whatever, California, and there's this awesome church there. And so we didn't want to just say, okay, introduction, okay, salvation, awesome. We knew that she needed community. She had just moved there. She didn't have friends. She's like, my mom's the only person I know. So we took time to connect her to a local church that we knew loved Jesus. And then we got on the road and realized, oh my goodness. We began to pray, Lord, transport us. It happened in the Bible. And I was joking. I said, Steve, close your eyes and let's just believe for it. He goes, I'm not closing my eyes. He's driving. See, he should have. He would have made the flight. There's a couple things I want to do. There's 2 things I want to do this morning. One, I want to talk about a really exciting opportunity and transition for us as a church that's really exciting. But I also want to eventually get to Exodus 19. hopefully we'll get there. But so let me tell you a little bit of the backstory. So last year, 2016, some of the leadership from Summit Church. You guys know Summit, J.D. Greer, awesome. They've got campuses all over the city, about 13,000 people in Raleigh-Durham area. Amazing what God is doing. They're seeing people come to Jesus. They're planting churches. And they came to us last year and they said, we meet at Cary High School, which is right down the street from here. We're middle school, and the high school is like a couple blocks away. When they moved in, they had about 400 people, and they grew to 500, and then 700, and 800, and then to 1,500. And they thought, okay, well, what do we do next? So they are building a building in Apex, out in Apex, a permanent place for them. And they came and they let us know about this, and that there's this opportunity for us to potentially move facilities to graduate middle school and go to high school. And so we, you know, obviously the first thought is, yeah. But we obviously always put everything before the Lord. I mean, especially because, guys, listen, they are so generous to the county. When they go into a school, they put $200,000 worth of sound equipment into the school, and they're leaving it there for us, for the school. We get to use it. $200,000 worth of sound equipment. All I'm saying is stuff sounds good now, but wait till August. Maybe give us a couple of weeks to learn the new system, too. And we also knew just a couple of practical things that we know that there have been the number one reason that people who are not believers or who are new visitors come and don't actually walk in the building is because of lack of parking. And we know that there have been people who've come in. And if you're a visitor, if you're new, you're obviously kind of nervous already. And if you have to circle around once and you don't see a parking space, most of the time you keep going. And so our bottleneck here is actually not seating, because we could do two services, but it's actually the parking, because the buses are here. It's a middle school. There's a lot less parking, and that's been our bottleneck for some time. But this solves that problem, the high school does. It also allows us for kids' space. Right now our kids have to walk across to the main building. It's going to allow us to have excellent space for parking, for the auditorium, for our children, because we value our children. We want them. It's not just, you know, like, let someone take care of them. We are discipling them as the next generation. We want them to have the Word of God hidden in their heart, and we want them to fall in love with Jesus. We want them to encounter His presence. We owe it to the next generation that they encounter the Lord, because the Bible stories will not hold them at 18 when they leave the house. Principle alone doesn't hold weight. It's presence. It's presence. It's living from presence. It's living out of relationship. And when I say presence, you can even come to worship and love the presence of God, but not have friendship with Him. So you can actually love the presence, but the Lord is saying, no, I'm talking about deep intimacy where the Lord is your best friend. He's the first person you go to when something good or bad happens. He's the one that you wake up and you think about. And that's available to all of us. So so we've been talking with them, and so the update is that they're moving out sometime at the end of July, early August. And so I just wanted to ask you guys, as a leadership team, we feel that it's the favor of God. We actually feel that the Lord said green light. In fact, when we moved in here, it was fall of 2013. When we went from a college ministry to plant a multi-generational, life-giving, reproducing church centered on Jesus, Word and Spirit, rooted in the Word of God. We've got to have the Bible hidden in our heart, but we've got to have the life of walking with Him that flows out of that. So fall of 2013, we launched with 50 people, 60 people. Last Sunday at Easter, we had 319. And so God's done an amazing thing over the last 3.5 years. Is that three? Yeah, 3.5 years. And we also, when we moved in here, the Lord spoke to somebody that He would take us to 200 something when we were here. I just remember writing that down. And so there's this new chapter that's available. Again, it solves parking, facilities, location. You know, Cary is booming, and the high school is right at the crossroads. It's just the location is amazing. And Summit, now there was other churches, big churches that you would also recognize who wanted that space, and they came to us and they said, we love your heart to make disciples. We want you to have it. Favor. It's a favor of the Lord. So as a leadership team, we feel good about making that transition in the summer. But I just want to ask you guys, do you guys feel okay with that? Yeah? It's going to be a long drive 2 blocks down the street. And so what that means is a couple things. The Lord spoke that this is going to be a launch pad to impact the city. What he said, it really is a graduation from like middle school to high school. You know, you hit puberty in middle school and then you grow up, and the goal is that you eventually become one who reproduces, and that you get married and you have babies, and obviously high schoolers hopefully not having babies yet, but the idea of our history of the Lord building foundation, laying some foundations, and setting us up to be a launch pad that is going to impact our city. Even the high school, there's been so many connections with some of the high school students, and at Cary High School, 2,000 students, many of them need to know Jesus. I'm telling you, they've not heard. They have not heard. And just another conversation with a couple other pastors in California. God is opening up doors in high schools where there are Bible clubs, where they pray this simple prayer. Lord, would you give us somebody on staff who loves you, who could be our person of influence, or a student, or both, who's a Christian, can be a person of influence, where through the Bible club, we could help facilitate bringing the gospel into the school. And there are high schools all over California where at lunchtime, it grew from a handful of people to now hundreds are meeting in the basketball gym in a public high school, and they're hearing the gospel, and weekly students are getting saved. It's happening right now, and on college campuses. Why not us? I mean, what God has given us is so precious, but it's not just for us. It's to be given out. It's to be given out. And so that's been my prayer. Even before we knew about this transition, for the middle school, God's given us opportunities to do some mentoring and see kids saved and see kids impacted at a little tiny scale. But there's just going to be so many opportunities. And so anyway, specifically, if that's on your heart to help with that, come on, see a need, fill it, pray into it. But at the school where we're at now, they've been gracious to us because it's a theater building. We're able to store a lot of our stuff here. How many of you know being a mobile church, it's a lot of work setting up, tearing down? Raise your hand if you've been on the setup, tear down team. You guys are awesome. Everyone else clap for them. And that clap and honor goes for everyone else who's helped with kids and greeting and welcome. You guys have all really done an amazing job. But at the high school, we are not, there's no place to leave our stuff. And so we're going to need to get some 12 foot by 6 foot trailers, something to haul them. There's going to be some expenses. And so the guy who basically manages the business side of all that they do met with us, and he said, because of this, and he already had it out, and he goes, I recommend you raise $25,000 to $40,000 for the first year for the transition, for everything that you're going to need, for signage, for the trailers, for and the list goes on and on and on and on. And so right now we're in, we're talking with them about potentially buying their stuff or renting it, and so it could be cheaper than that. But what we do know is that we, over the next 3 weeks, we want to I want to invite you guys into being part of this. It would be foolish to go in and then realize, oh my goodness, we know what we need, but there's some other things that we don't, and we don't have money for it. And so there's an opportunity to pull together as a family and say, if we really believe this is the vision of the Lord, if we really believe that this is a response to what he's calling us to as a launch pad to impact the city, where, by the way, there's 340 seats here, and the auditorium there is 680. And so what that would allow us to do, and there's no other space in the county bigger than what we have. This is the only one that's opened up because they're just not available. They rarely become available. So again, for the Lord to choose us and say, I want you to have it, maybe he has plans for us to grow. Maybe, and not just to grow to say, yay, look, Mom, we planted a bigger church. It's like it lives being changed. Like people who were suicidal who were set free. Families that were on the brink of divorce that are finding wholeness in Jesus. It's individual lives. When we come together on Sunday morning, it's to celebrate the presence of God. But then we, throughout the week, we meet in communities. Women's groups, men groups, life groups, because we need that relationship. And the front door for church in America is Sunday morning. How many of you, just I want to get an idea, how many of you came here because of Google or an ad or Facebook or something? Raise your hand. Raise it real high. Marcus, turn around and stand and look. One, two, three, four. Okay, cool. Great. How many of you came because of a relationship? Okay, that's always the majority. And the rest of you, how did you get here? What else is there? The sign. Signage. Signage matters. Yeah, okay. Well, so it's going to be 680. And what that allows us to do is continue to meet with one, as one service. As we grow, it solves the parking problem. It positions us in a central location, and we really feel that God's going to add families. God's going to add young adults that he's calling to be part of us. And what you have, you're going to give to them. What we are carrying is going to impact them, and not only them, but generations to come. It's not just about playing church. I mean, this is life or death. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. Everyone is going to end up in heaven or hell. It is serious. We have a city, and we have a mandate from the Lord to take the city. We have a city, we have a county of 2 million people, and we have a mandate from the Lord to take our city, to take ground. Joshua 1, everywhere the soles of your feet tread, I've given it to you. I'm giving it to you. That's the mandate. It's on you. It's not my job. My job is to encourage you to go do it, to serve you. Our leadership team is to serve you in your giftings, whether that's intercession, pray in mama's stay home and pray, and I'm telling you, you're going to change the city. Hospitality, you take in neighbors and love on them, and you just encourage them in the Lord, you're going to be fruitful. Whatever your gift is, whatever your gift is, let it be birthed and rooted in your identity, not out of that place of gift or of let me find a ministry so I can have identity. No, our identity is I'm a worshiper of God. I'm a son, I'm a daughter, and because I'm loved, I can love myself. That self-hatred thing can be crushed so that I can actually then love my neighbor. Can't love your neighbor. A lot of times we love our neighbor as we love ourselves because we're so filled with self-hatred, we hate our neighbors. But God wants to break that. That's what happens in the kingdom. You get so overwhelmed with the love of God that you realize, well, he loves me, so then I'm empowered to love me. And he breaks the chains of all of that condemnation and shame and self-doubt and insecurity. It breaks it off. So that you can walk into a room and you're not thinking about what do people think about me. You walk into a room and you're saying, Lord Jesus, what are you doing here? What's the Father doing? What's the Father saying? That's the freedom he wants to lead us into. And he is leading us into. So we have a city, we have a county of 2 million, and we have a mandate. We have a mandate that there would be radical worshipers of Jesus raised up in this generation. And if we're not believing for a dream that's impossible, we're believing too small. What would you do if you had 10 times the boldness that you have right now? Anything less than that means that we've allowed fear to come in some area, and it's hindering us from our inheritance. Okay, I got to tie in Exodus somehow. 11:40. So bottom line is, God is so good. God is so good. I never thought of myself as I'm going to be a pastor someday. I just said yes to the next thing the Lord was saying, all of a sudden I get to be part of this amazing family that from heaven's perspective, the cutting edge of what's going on in the earth is that Christ through his church is the hope of the world. It's not the history books of the earth are so different than the history books of heaven. You got to understand that. The most important thing going on the earth right now is what Jesus said he came to establish, his church, his bride, the pillar and support of truth, his army. And we're called to rise up into the fullness of him and to take hold of that for which he's taken hold of us. And I don't know exactly what that journey is going to look like. I just know that I'm really excited. And you guys are awesome. You just need to know that. That Jennifer and I, a lot of times people say, oh, Pastor, you have such heart. Like, we feel so loved and supported by you guys. And by our team and all of our volunteers. We're just undone at the mercy of God that he's given us you to walk with. Like, really. I mean, we've lived in a desert. I've been in a desert for 14 years. I've never had family like you before. It's awesome. The church. And all of our warts and all of our, whatever, all of our quirks. It's good. We're going to learn to love each other and love the Lord. Okay, Exodus 19. So, by the way, the carried launch is, like I said, we're looking at the first week of August for that. What we want to do is on a Friday night or Saturday night, maybe a 2 or 3 or 4 weeks out, is have a worship night there where we kind of do a run through and get familiar with equipment, but worship and maybe either have food trucks or like a barbecue, something that's kind of a. Someone said, yeah, amen to that. Yeah. Hey, we got to eat together. Acts 2, that's what they did, right? They ate together. They ate together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there was a sense of awe because God was among them. Signs and wonders were happening. Oh, my goodness, this week, so many miracles. Oh, my goodness. People that were deaf. And they're weeping because their ears were open. I saw it before my eyes. It was amazing. Like, that's normal. Do you know, okay, I'm going on a few rabbit trails, but just bear with me. For us, we think, okay, there's the natural and then there's the supernatural. But for God, there's only the natural. Like, have you ever thought about that? There's only the natural. Like, it's natural. It's like the God who created the world, the universe through a word. For him to raise the dead is nothing. It's what he did. And then he said, you're going to do the same thing in greater works. Now, we don't need to get weird and kind of quirky and unrelated to the world. Like, we need to be filled with love and be able to relate to people. But we need to be secure in who we are as sons and daughters. So as we go out, we can love them with the love of Jesus. And we know that we have all the resources. So you got to understand what's been given to you. I am actually preaching the message the Lord gave me. I'm just not even using the text, okay? Because the deal is that you see in Exodus, they were brought out of slavery. They had a slavery mindset, and God saved them. He delivered them from an army that wanted to destroy them, miraculously crossed the Red Sea. They go into the desert. 3 days into it, because they're thinking like slaves, they begin complaining because there's not water, there's not food. And God reveals himself. He says in Exodus 15, I am the Lord, your healer. Just look to me. Trust me. I'm the Lord, your healer. He says, I am your provider. Be thankful. When you come into a situation that's impossible, don't think like with a poverty mindset. Oh, I wish that we were back in slavery because there's no water. Think like royalty that you are. All the resources of heaven are available. And there was miraculous provision of water, of bread, and meat, too. Quail, if you like quail. That's what they had. A lot of it. And so the Lord shows himself as, I'm your healer. I am your provider. And then he says, I am your protector. Because the Amalekites came. And the enemy had another strategy. He said, I'm going to attack them. And the Amalekites came and they attacked the Israelites. It was their first battle. It's the only battle in the book of Exodus. And what happens? Joshua, the commander, is down there with the armies. And Moses, the Lord speaks to Moses and says, get up on the top of the hill. And he said, lift up your hands in a posture of intercession, of prayer. And scripture says that when he would lift his hands, the Israelites would overcome. The Lord brought victory for them. When he waned and he left that posture of intercession, of God, you bring the victory. Because he reveals his name in this battle. The Lord, Jehovah Nissi, my banner, my victory. And he got tired, and so we need community. And so he had Aaron, and he had her. He had his brother and his brother-in-law on each side holding his hands up, and they gave him a big rock to sit on, too. So he was just probably like this all day, you know. And God says, again, it's just this prophetic picture that we can't fight in our own strength. It is in the position of, Father, you can do all things. You do the impossible. God's taking them from a slave mindset to sons and daughters who understand what their inheritance is. And in chapter 19, he enters into covenant with them. 7 times Moses goes up and down the mountain. And so we know eventually that the next generation, the third part, so there's the salvation from bondage, and then you've got this wilderness time where the Lord is training them to think like sons and daughters, and they didn't pass the test. That generation, the Lord was not pleased, because even though he visibly showed up in his glory and he provided and he was victorious for them, they stayed in their old mindset, and God then had to raise up the next generation. 2 of them made it in, and then it was the next generation that actually then the third part was entering into the inheritance. And many of us as believers, we've been saved, but we're still in that training ground. And God wants to lead us into the promised land. He wants to lead you into all the promises that you have, that he has for you. But I want to highlight one particular verse in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. We have it on the screen right here. It says this. It says, all the people, so God is coming in his glory on this mountain. Now, this is 2 months to the day that they walked out of Egypt. 2 months to the day the Lord had promised Moses, as a sign that I'm with you, I'm going to bring you and this people back to this mountain, Mount Sinai, and you will worship me here. So 2 months to the day, they come to the mountain, and God visits them in glory and power. And it says that all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us or we will die." How sad. They said, no, Moses, you speak to us. You talk to God. We're too scared. We don't want relationship with him. You just tell us what to do. And God gave them the law. He gave the Ten Commandments. The law is good. Don't kill, don't steal. And they're like, just give us the rules. But you know that you can't obey the rules unless you enter into relationship with the God who gave it. And it's the new covenant where the Spirit of God within us empowers us to walk in victory. And they missed it. They said, "Moses, you talk to him. We don't want to. It's grievous." They said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us or we will die." And Moses said in verse 20, he said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. For God has come in order to test you and in order that the fear of him may remain with you so that you may not sin." So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. God longs for a people for himself. He brings us from salvation, and then he begins to renew our thinking, and tests come and trials come, and he takes us from a slavery mindset to sonship, where we understand that all that Jesus has been given to us, and then we're prepared to go into the promised land. Then we're prepared to, not only for you, but for your descendants to come and generations to come, you apprehend the fullness of the promises of God. And God, he'll allow us to hang out in the wilderness if we grumble, if we complain, if we say, "Nope, Moses, you talk to us. I'm gonna let the Sunday school teacher tell me stories. I'm gonna come Sunday morning and get fed. But during the week, I don't really want to create the discipline of waking up early and seeking God because whatever excuse." But the Lord is saying, you've got the Word of God, but the Spirit of God, as you learn to walk in friendship with him, that's what will bring you into your destiny, into the inheritance that God has for you. And it doesn't have to be a generation at 40 years. It can be 11 days. It was an 11-day journey. Is this making sense? All right, so the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to teach them that. But man, we live on the other side of the cross. So I want to end with this verse, and then we're going to go into ministry. And this is Jeremiah. I quote this a lot because I absolutely love it. And it shows us, okay, we don't have to just live by principle. We can live by presence. We need principle. We need the Word of God within us, but we need the Spirit of God to actually empower us to walk it out. And it says in Jeremiah 31:31, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law, my principle, within them, my truth. Truth sets you free. I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it, and I will be their God." So there's the presence. It's principle and it's presence. "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's the desire of the Lord. A people set apart for himself, the apple of his eye, his treasure that he gave his life for. We don't want to be like that generation that said, "No, let me just hear the stories. Let me hear other people's testimonies. Let me go get built up on Sunday morning, but I'm too afraid or I feel too full of shame to actually draw near myself to this God." And God wants to break that off us today. I want to read again from verse 33. "But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. He breaks the shame that keeps you from entering in. He breaks the fear. And we're called to be a people, yes, that meditate on the Word of God. We have the principle, but out of that, we live by presence. We live by Holy Spirit. What are you speaking to me today? What are you saying? I want to obey. Journal in the morning. Wake up. Read a chapter of the Bible. Praise God. Enter in thankfulness. Listen to Him and dialogue with Him, and then say, Holy Spirit, throughout the day, remind me of yourself. I want to abide in you. And as we do that, you're going to experience the glory and the presence, the goodness of God like you never have before. And it's not just for you, it's for all those around you. And they're going to see Jesus on your life. Yesterday on the airplane back, all three of the stewardesses, I got to pray for one lady, and then they all came to me and they said, when are you going to pray for me? She told me that this other lady was so rocked by the presence. They didn't use that terminology, but the presence of God. They're like, pray for me. Literally, there was a line. And all four of them had an encounter with the Lord. And three of the four were believers, but they were in a place where they were stuck in this place of shame, where like, I can't draw near to Him, I'm not worthy. And God just struck their heart with the reality that His blood is enough and that He desires intimate relationship with them. God wants to do that everywhere you go.